We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Evolving personally, I think, you know, that's a constant process. I'm always looking at, you know, how I can become, you know, a better quarterback, a better teammate, a better leader, but also how I can take care of my body better, what I can do to give myself every advantage possible to play at a high level, but also to be able to recover. And I think we've come a long way in the last 12 years in terms of how we recover and how we take care of ourselves as well. And I'm at this point at 34 years old. I feel as good as I ever have.
The voice of Matt Ryan meeting with the media earlier today, talking about a variety of different things in his media session. But that right there, Matt Ryan talking about just wanting to be better. I mean, physically, yeah, the science that we have is pretty obvious. Right. The medical science that we have now to keep athletes healthier longer. Just look at Wimbledon. Look at Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal and Serena Williams and the ages of people in sports where guys used to just completely fall off cliffs at the age of 30. It's the same thing. And rules in the NFL help quarterbacks too. But that's why I say when I talk about Matt Ryan at 34 with 5 years left on his contract, I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't Matt Ryan's last contract. I wouldn't be surprised if he does one more short one after this. Now, that's not really the concern right now. The concern right now is Matt Ryan and the Falcons playing well this year.
That's all.
He said he's still getting better. Like, what does Matt Ryan need to do? We talked about Austin Hooper earlier today. I think that one's a little bit easier. What's Matt Ryan need to do this year to be a better quarterback than he's ever been before? Like, is it easy to diagnose what that would be?
No, it's not. It really isn't, because I mean, he's a damn elite quarterback.
He's pretty good already.
Deep ball accuracy, maybe that.
I think that would be the thing.
But I mean, There's really not a lot of holes in his game. He's tough. Doesn't miss a lot of football. And he's the type of guy that, as much as you want balance and everything, he can kind of carry you when you don't have it. And I think they would have won more games, as great as he was last year with no run game and banged up off the line. He wasn't the reason that you lost.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was not, you know, he wasn't the reason why. The injuries were. I mean, it was. But still, with that being said, he still had a chance to make plays on defense and all that. But no, I think Matt's fine.
You bring up an interesting point, though, about the deep ball. Because Matt Ryan throws a good deep ball. But in 2016, perfect. He had the best deep ball quarterback percentage in the NFL.
He didn't throw it a lot, though.
He didn't throw it a lot. That's true. There were plays last year where you look at it. If him and Julio Jones completed 50% of the deep balls that they threw, Julio would have had 2,000 yards receiving last year.
Yes.
And Matt Ryan would have gone well over 5,000 yards.
Yes.
So, yeah, that would have been the one thing that I would say, too. But look. Offensive line protection helps with that, right?
Yeah.
It's easier to throw a deep ball when you're not getting cracked in the backside of your head when you're letting the ball go.
You know what? After a while, Andy, that stuff started to hurt.
I bet. I can only imagine. I wouldn't know, but I would imagine getting hit by, you know, 315-pound linemen over and over and over again doesn't feel good.
You all right when initially happens?
The first one?
Yeah. But then it hit again.
What about
again.
The 42nd one?
And then when you get up in the morning, that's when it started hurting even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I know that, you know, when the little Ryan boys, they were crying, I bet he was like, Sarah, go get them.
Yeah,
boys.
You got to get them.
Yeah, you
I'm sorry.
I can't get them.
I got
right
landed
now.
On too yeah, many times
I
yesterday,
can't,
man.
I can't get them, baby.
We got our offensive line is comprised of Ben Garland and Wes Schweitzer and
such a
Ryan
nice guy,
Schrader.
Such a nice guy.
They're all perfectly fine people.
Ben Garland, such a nice guy.
And maybe they were saying compliments to the pass rushers as they blew past him. Oh, great move, buddy. Pop! Matt Ryan's on his back.
Yeah.
Oh, nice work, dude. Great job, bro.
Dude, there's nothing worse. I'm telling you, and I know they feel bad, because I tell people all the time, there's nothing worse than your quarterback getting blasted and you're the
you
reason.
You got to go pick him up.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's just like.
Well, sometimes you see quarterbacks get so mad they don't even accept the offensive lineman picking them up. Like, I don't want your help.
Or like you go to help them up. And they're like, what happened? I missed the block.
Well, in reality, Matt, if I'm going to tell you the truth, what happened is I'm just not as good as that guy who I'm trying to block.
Who is it? Oh, it's my guy.
Yeah, it's my guy. What did they do? No, he's just better than me.
Yeah.
There's really nothing I can do about it.
I mean, that's what it is, man.
And I'm going to level with you, Matt. You're going to get hit again.
I'm just letting you know that. So brace yourself.
You're going to get hit again. And it might be this play.
Yeah.
Like, if we're throwing the ball on this play and it's not like a quick screen or something like that, you're probably going to get hit. So you're going to want to make sure you get that ball out real fast or just protect it, whatever. Call an audible. I don't care. Run the ball because you're going to get hit. Anyway, that probably didn't happen in those
conversations. I know it happened, but again, there ain't nothing worse than you being the reason your quarterback got blasted and you got to go hook him up.
The bottom line, though, is, and I think we've spent a lot of time talking about the Falcons' objective this offseason to protect their biggest asset and their biggest investment, which is Matt Ryan. I think one way where Matt Ryan is better in 2019 is if he's protected. If he's simply on his feet with confidence in the pocket, I think you have to feel like he's got a better chance to do that this year than he did last year or the year before.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it was Austin Hooper who was on with John and Hugh, and he said the perfect thing. Everything looks good in shorts right now. Wait till you put them pads on. Then you'll finally put them pads on and play against somebody with a different color uniform. And then you'll figure out how good these guys can be.
And those guys that wear purple up there in Minnesota,
they got some horses.
Who they play week 1 of the season. Yeah, we're going to find out a lot about that offensive line week 1 of the season. And the Philadelphia's pass rush isn't too bad either. And that's who they play week 2.
They're going to have to get it together now. Real quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yes, sir.
Quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Matt Ryan met with the media earlier today. If you want to hear more of that, available on 929thegame.com.
Nah, Q's always going to have the energy. He's always going to set the tone of practice and hold us up to a high standard while we're out there. He's not going to lie to us. If he doesn't think practice at the standard, he's going to tell us about it. And he's always been like that, and he continue to be the same person out there today. So that's dope.
That's dope. That word was used a lot yesterday at practice. Apparently, Desmond Trufant used it. Deion Jones used it there. He also used the word dope when he was talking about signing his contract on Arthur Blank's private jet.
It's pretty dope.
That does sound pretty dope, yeah, actually.
It's pretty dope.
That sounds really great. Now, Deion Jones talking about Dan Quinn's energy at practice and trying to correct people if they make mistakes and all that sort of stuff. Ricardo Allen told us kind of the same thing. He was like, yeah, and Dan Quinn's always been like that, but with his now focus and emphasis being on the defense, because Debo referenced it there. Ricardo Allen referenced it when we talked to him about, yeah, he's really correcting people a lot. Uh-huh. Maybe he's a little bit more focused on the defense and what mistakes guys are making to have both of them make that reference on the radio station today.
I love it, man.
I love it, too.
I love it, dude.
Fix the mistakes.
I mean, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better than a football player that self-scouts. And what I mean by that, can sit up there and do something wrong in practice and the coach not have to say repeat. Hey, coach, just run that again. Those are usually the best team. Now, a lot of times coach catches it before then, but you can't catch it all the time. And for a player, whenever you mess up, like, hey, coach, we run it back. And for your teammates to be like, hey, whatever, let's go, let's line up. Because you want to get it right. And the first place you get it right, we talked yesterday about this, the first day. Yesterday was the first day in the journey to Miami. Well, I mean, you got to keep adding on to that. And the only way you can is to continuously try to get better and to correct the mistakes that you make.
Tomorrow's the first day in pads,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, buddy.
We haven't heard about anybody getting any scuffles the first 2 days. We're going to hear about something tomorrow, right? Like, somebody's going to get somebody's face tomorrow.
You got to fight tomorrow. First player inside run, somebody got to get the tussling.
Well, yeah. Brian asked in my ear, do we have any guesses? It's going to be Caleb McGarry and somebody.
Caleb and Tack.
All right, you can have Caleb and Tack.
Okay.
I'll go Caleb and... Is Alan Bailey going to be there yet?
No, he's not going to be there. Wendy says Caleb and Tack, too.
Caleb and Tack. All right. You guys are just like taking Brooks Koepka in the Open Championship.
Obvious.
I'll go James Carpenter.
Okay.
And Jack Crawford.
Okay.
Those guys are going to get into it tomorrow. I don't know. I'm just throwing crap at the wall. I think it's going to be. Tack and McGarry too. I just want to go the other direction.
Yeah, but I mean, first play inside run, you got to have. But you know what? Might not get that because Caleb ain't starting right now.
No, he's not. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. James Carpenter is. Hmm. He's in there. May it's going to be Giorgio Tavecchio and
Vernon. Vernon. Barner, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah, and Kenyon Barner.
Yeah, get back.
That's who it's going to
get
be.
Get back.
Giorgio Tavecchio. No, yeah, Bosher and Barner. That would make sense.
Oh, I said the wrong name. Because yeah, Bosher the one kiboshed them.
Yeah, he DDT'd Barner in that game last year. Now it's going to be Giorgio Tavecchio. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Guys aren't going to fight. It's a brotherhood.
I just think we're giving our all to this year. You know, we're giving it all to our teammates. We're not much dwelling on bringing it all together from the past. I feel like the things that are for us are ahead of us. So we're just really wiping the board clean. We're starting day 1 here at training camp, seeing how far we can take it.
There you go.
Grady.
Like you said, day one, first day on the journey to Miami. That was Grady Jarrett yesterday saying essentially the same thing, and it's true.
Yeah.
Training camp opened yesterday. Hopefully there's some confetti falling in Miami in February, and then there's a parade down Peachtree.
You need that parade, man.
A lot of stuff has to happen between now and then, though.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of things.
It's only second day. Tomorrow,
yeah, it's not really.
Tomorrow you put on your war wound, man. You put it on.
Your what?
Never mind.
No, come on.
Never mind. You put on your soldier rags tomorrow, and you're going out there and do it.
Hang on a second. Look, come on.
What?
I want to know. Everybody does.
What?
You put on your what? Your...
I didn't say anything.
Oh. Well, we got it on tape.
Yeah, I didn't.
Is it like something you shouldn't have said? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll move on then. My bad.
Yeah. We were trying to, with some injuries and different things, we were trying to get some consistency back with it, and I think that's a huge step in the right direction. You know, we get Max back in there, and all of a sudden, I like our rotation. You know, Gauz is an established guy. It's good getting him back in there.
Brian Snitker, feeling good. Feeling great. They got the Royals in town tonight. Dallas Keuchel on the mound, which I like. Didn't have a great start last time out.
No, it was not. It was not.
Would be hopeful to see him bounce back tonight.
Because when he missed, they were cracking it.
Yeah. And look, as much as I like the idea of Dallas Keuchel eating innings, sometimes you're just full. And he doesn't need to be out there until the seventh inning if he's not getting guys out. Anybody else would have been pulled from the game.
Exactly.
The first time Snitker went to the mound, last time Keuchel was pitching, they left him in for a couple more batters. They scored a couple more runs. And sadly, the Braves ended up scoring four late in that game. And if Keuchel hadn't given up those two runs, the Braves might have been able to win that one. Right. So
that was such a fun game, though.
That was Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson.
Four RBI.
Yeah, that was such a fun game.
He's been tearing the cover off the baseball, Josh Donaldson has. But no, looking forward to seeing Keuchel get back out there today. Hopefully have a bounce back start. You got the Royals in town tonight and tomorrow night. Should be able to take two from them because they're terrible. And then you go on the road and play the Phillies and the Nationals in very important games. You got six games leading up to the trade deadline, which is July 31st. And I know we've said this 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again because people keep forgetting about it. There's only one trade deadline this year in baseball. You can't do that waiver claim stuff like you used to be able to do in August. It's one and one only. So whoever the Braves are on August 1st is who the Braves are going to be when the playoffs come around. Is the rotation right now, Randy? Because that's basically what Snitker just told
us.
Is the I was going to say, is the rotation right now in need of help?
Oh.
Ha-ha. No, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, is the rotation right now a finished product?
No. Yeah. It can't be, can it? Or can it be?
It can be.
Well, it can be, but I'm saying.
I agree with you that it isn't, but it can be.
What did I say last week? Who they waiting on?
Fulte.
Thank you.
But what are they waiting for? Because Fulte's been pretty good in the minors.
Yeah, I know.
Four starts. The first four starts he had when he was down there, he did really badly. So his collective ERA isn't great. But in his four starts since he's been sent back down there, by the way, the idea that Mike Fultonevich would make 8 starts in Gwinnett this year is mind-boggling.
It's crazy.
But anyway, the last four times, he's got a 3.5 ERA. He's been solid. It's not like...
Where yet?
What does he need to show you?
Where yet?
Right. What are they waiting for?
No, where is he at now?
He's in Gwinnett.
Okay.
I know, but why, though? Like, what are you waiting to see?
That's my question to you. You know, he's waiting to see. Remember, you know how we shuffle these young pitchers in and out? They're waiting for Gosman to mess up so Fulte can come take his place.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting strategy, but you're right. That's what they've been doing all year. But if they're going to go to a six-man rotation.
They're not going on six-man rotation.
I think
they
are eventually.
For what?
To keep the innings low on Soroka and Fried. I think they're going to do that eventually.
I don't think so.
Alex Anthopoulos kind of told us that. Not us. But he told who? Dukes and Bell? Somebody. He told somebody that.
So that's who. Okay, so if you look at a six-man rotation, is it just to rest those two? What would it do for the other guys? What would it do for guys like Dallas Keuchel, who's used to pitching high? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he's more of a big-time pitcher than all of them. He's done it.
Here's something. This is just a theory.
All right.
Here's something else that it does. It keeps Fulte out there every 6 days and hopefully working back towards being himself. It keeps Gossman out there every 6 days, and then by the time you get to the playoffs, you could just choose who's ever been best. Because I don't think they're trading for a starter.
I don't either. I don't think they're trading for a closer either.
Really?
I don't think – not to have to give up something, not to get one of these Will Smith-type guys, no.
Well, Will Smith's not coming, I don't think.
No,
I think
I'm talking about caliber of that guy.
Yeah.
They ain't come, huh?
So you're telling me
– I'm listening.
Randy McMichael.
Mm-hmm.
That when the playoffs start and the Braves take on whoever they play in the first round and they go into the ninth inning with a lead of 5-3, Luke Jackson's coming out of the bullpen?
Oh, yeah, that dude's coming.
In October?
Yeah.
In the fall?
Yeah.
With pumpkins on people's doorsteps?
Dude.
I don't want that.
I don't see nobody else coming out there.
When I got pumpkins on my porch, I don't want Luke Jackson to be the closer,
my thing
okay?
Is who else going to be there? Do you trust that dude or Tomlin?
Tomlin, I don't know. Yeah. Neither. The guy isn't on the roster yet. I want somebody from somebody else's roster.
All right.
That's who I want.
I don't believe it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be an exciting game. They're a good team. Obviously, they're coming off of the game against the Galaxy. So it's going to be, you know, I'm sure you guys on the outside of the locker rooms will hype it up as much as you can. And us as players know that it's a big game, but it's not the end-all be-all. It's a chance for us to continue to pick up points and keep this, you know, this short run of games going in a positive direction.
Is that Brad Gazan being... making fun of media members for hyping stuff up?
Nah, he ain't talking about me. That's y'all over there that ask some dumb questions like that to get athletes fired up.
You don't think this game on Friday is a big game?
No, it ain't a big game, man.
Why not?
Well, you know why it's a big game? Because it's the next one. Like I always say, but y'all be like, oh, look at that. Oh, the ESPN showing all the clippings. No, it's the next game.
What is that? Just general media guy voice impression right there?
Yeah, that's the only one I do.
Oh, big game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a big game because it's the next
one. It's the next one.
I tell you what.
If I say that to Brad Guzan, you know what he's going to say? Yep. That's exactly what he's going to say. He's going to agree with me. But yeah.
It doesn't make you right.
How does it make me right? Well, he's agreeing with me.
What does Brad know? All right. I think it's a big game. Atlanta United versus LAFC on Friday, 10 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joe Patrick joins us next. We'll get more into that Braves question. Does Joe think the Braves are going to do anything in the next 8 days? Has Kevin Gausman saved the rotation? And is Luke Jackson going to be the closer when people have pumpkins on their porches? We'll find out all those things from Joe Patrick coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Decatur Slim, and every day from 10 to 2, I'm listening to Andy and Randy on 92.9 The Game, and you better know it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. A couple segments left for us here on a Tuesday. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Any question, any topic, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929. Again, any question, we'll answer coming up in 20 minutes, as we always do. We'll be back out at training camp tomorrow. We got some weather in our way today. It was raining up there at Flowery Bridge. And, you know, rain and technical electronics equipment, radio equipment, don't mix. So erred on the side of caution today. We'll be back out there at 10 a.m. tomorrow and on Thursday. So come by and say hi if you get the opportunity. Also happening today, the Braves back in action at home at SunTrust Park against the Royals. Dallas Keuchel on the mound. Joining us now to talk some Braves, our 92.9 The Game Braves reporter, Joe Patrick. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just running around town today, or this week, really. But how are you guys doing?
Violent Joe. we didn't have no situation or nothing yesterday out there at Flower, did we, Joe?
Yeah, it was rough. Things were getting shaky. Getting some emails.
Now, we did. Joe is doing like triple duty this week,
because
he was at Flowery Branch yesterday covering the Falcons for the radio station. Obviously, be doing the Braves game tonight. Big week for Atlanta United as well, and Joe covers Atlanta United. So, a very busy man, but just a well rounded sports reporter.
Well rounded.
Which is why we have Joe on now to talk about
the Braves. Don't get on his bad side.
Oh, yeah. No, he'll come after you.
Yeah.
Jabbing Joe. All right. So, after Kevin Gausman's last start, Joe, I'm sure you heard, you were probably even there when Brian Snitker said that, well, it's kind of like making a trade, adding Kevin Gausman back to the rotation. Does that signify to you that maybe they're not going to make a trade for any other starters?
I don't know. I mean, I would still be surprised if they don't make a trade. I mean, I just think it's best practice at this point to try to bolster yourself. Like any team, not just the Braves, but I think any team at this point of the season that's going into the playoffs will be doing themselves a disservice not to try to strengthen in at least to get a bullpen arm in. And that is definitely the case with the Braves right now. They could definitely use a bullpen arm. And in my opinion, they could use a starting rotation arm too. And it's funny because, like you said, you know, when I was watching that game, you know, I tweeted out that, you know, it's like Kevin, like a new signing Gausman. That's kind of a phrase that gets thrown around in soccer circles, is like a new signing when a player comes back from injury. But, you know, he did. He looked very good. The issue that the Braves have at this point is kind of a matter of timing, right? Because, you know, in a perfect world, they would have a good, like, three or four starts to evaluate Gausman and kind of see what they have with him. But in reality, they have probably one more time to see him start before they will have to make a decision on whether they need to bolster in that area or not. So, to me, that's just not enough time. And, even if Gausman goes out and throws another seven or eight innings of great baseball, you know, I just still don't know if I can quite believe in that at this point. So I would still like to see them explore options for a starting pitcher, but we're going to see.
Well, here's the thing, Joe. You're absolutely correct about the time. That's why I just don't believe they're going to make any moves like that because of the time. I still think they're waiting to see what Fulton Evans is going to do. But you just said reliever. Are we talking about reliever as far as like maybe seventh or eighth inning? Or are we talking about reliever that's at the end that pitches last, so that dude won't have to go and pitch?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, right? So,
Randy won't even say his name.
So I think I'm more comfortable in Luke Jackson than you are, and I think many Braves fans are right now.
You're joking, right?
But everybody's really more comfortable really with Luke Jackson than Randy is. Everyone is.
What I would like to see the Braves add, I don't, if he's a closer or whatever, whatever inning he's pitching, whatever that is less important to me as getting in a guy who has experience in the postseason in the most highest pressure packed situations possible. Now, you know, obviously those are going to be closers, but you know, if there's a veteran reliever out there who's been in these situations before in the playoffs, that's the kind of guy I would want to get, because the way I'm looking at this team right now is in the context of being a playoff team. I think they've proven to this point that they're well good enough to get themselves into the playoffs. And right now, I think when you're looking at the trade deadline, you really need to be looking at players who can make a tangible difference for you. And when I mean like a tangible difference, I just mean somebody who's going to elevate the club from one level to another. And to me, that is guys who have that experience in the postseason, because that's where the Braves are going to need help. They're going to need help actually winning those postseason series. It's not going to be enough, I think, for a lot of people in the fan base, a lot of the fans, to just get to the postseason again and kind of flame out similarly to the way the team did last year.
Who are some of those names realistically? Because I think Will Smith was a name that we had as far as closers go on the list. But it looks like the Giants have played themselves back into contention, and maybe they won't be sellers. As far as a closer that could make a tangible difference and that is also available and that the Braves could potentially afford, who's a name or two that we maybe want to keep our eyes on?
Yeah, you know, I like a guy like Shane Green with the Tigers. You know, the Tigers have kind of fallen out of contention lately. He's a guy with closing experience who could really help benefit this team. Mm. And to be honest, you know, Alex Anthopoulos kind of lurks in the shadows. He kind of makes moves that people don't think he's going to make. Yeah. And I think the Dallas Keuchel signing was kind of a perfect example of that. You know, about 2 weeks before the signing was made, nobody was talking about the Braves really realistically being in contention for this guy. So, honestly, I don't even kind of like to throw names around there, because I don't know who the heck this guy is looking at, but I do trust him. You know, I think that Braves fans need to have a lot of faith in Alex Anthopoulos at this point, because pretty much every move he's made so has been right. You know, like, this guy has been pretty on fire in terms of the acquisitions that he's made to help this club, whether it's, you know, the higher profile ones like Dallas Keuchel or a guy like an Anthony Swarzak, who, you know, he's a guy that a lot of us thought was just kind of it was a throwaway trade. He's come in and he's been one of those bullpen arms that's kind of helped turn the tide for the Braves' entire season. He was just kind of it seemed like a throwaway deal at the time. It proved to be, you know, extremely, extremely helpful to this team.
Hey, Joe, why is Ender playing? I mean, are they showing? And I know why he's playing. Let me rephrase. Why are they trying to showcase him and try and maybe package him with some stuff to go get maybe not one of those big name arms, but some of those guys, a guy who we probably aren't talking about that Alex already has scouted?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of is the case here, just to kind of get him out there and prove to other teams that he's healthy and can be playing. Because it was pretty interesting the other day when he came in. I can't remember who they were playing off the top of my head, but he came in, he stole base, and someone asked him, and Brian Snicker in the post game, whether he can be like an explosive bench option for you. And Brian Snicker was like, well, I don't know about that. He'll come in and he'll start every once in a while. But I didn't get the sense in Brian Snicker's response there that he really saw Ender as a guy who he wants basically on his bench. You know, he's the kind of player who really his value is if he's playing full games, you know, and giving you kind of like, you know, giving you outfield defense throughout the game. I just don't know if he's a guy that the Braves really envision as being a key contributor for them off the bench, because you need kind of a lot of more versatility and you need different things as a bench player. And obviously I don't think he's kind of at the point now where he's going to break in as a starter with Austin Riley, you know, having made the impact he's made on this ball club.
Yeah, that's a great point. To be an effective utility player in baseball,
right,
you got to be able to play a bunch of different positions, but also be able to make an immediate impact with your bat. Like,
yep.
Charlie Culberson's been amazing this year. The average pinch hitter bats like 240, 250. Culberson's batting 315 on the season primarily a pinch hitter. Andrew Ciarte is batting 210 as a starter, so the idea that he could be a pinch hitter is tough. Now, if he's playing 9 innings of defense, maybe he can help you. It's funny, the way that Randy asked that question, why is Ender playing? I had it written down, why is Ender playing so much? And then maybe it won't be as much as we go forward. Hey, I've got a question for you here, Joe, just as we're kind of talking about the pitchers. Like, I know literally where Mike Foltynewicz is. He's in Gwinnett. But figuratively, where's Folty, and what are they waiting for? Because he's been pretty good down there.
Yeah, he has. He has been good. But I think that, you know, with Folty, it's a tough one. Because to me, he's like Gausman, where you would want to kind of see him and get, like, see him a couple times at the major league level again before the trade deadline to try to evaluate what he can give you. But I think with Folty, you know, when the whole thing happened, when he went down, it really felt to me like he needed to kind of learn a lesson, almost. Like, it was almost like
it's like time out.
I don't want to say, I don't want to say it was like a punishment, but it's like he needs to not be going down to Gwinnett with the thought that he can immediately be coming back up.
Right.
Be coming back up, because he has longer-term issues he needs to sort out. Now, that being said, I think Foltynewicz is still a guy who can come up and provide value for you, you know, as you're making a playoff push and if you go into the playoffs. You know, because his stuff, I think he's a guy who can come in and slot into the bullpen if you need. You know, you probably won't be able to rely on him as a starter in a playoff series, you know, especially considering kind of the reason he is in Gwinnett right now. But I think with his stuff, you know, why not keep him around, keep him engaged, you know, when this team needs him, when the rosters expand and they go into the playoffs. But I don't think the sense that I got when he went down was that it wouldn't be just like a short-term thing, that it was kind of long-term, and it had a purpose for being long-term.
Hey, Joe, who's the next young guy that's coming up from Gwinnett to get sent right back?
Ooh, you know, I don't know. It's a tough one, because the guys they keep bringing up from Gwinnett are not really kind of producing the way that they wanted to. Bryce Wilson has kind of shown some flashes, but he'll come up, he'll show a flash, and then he'll disappear. Kyle Wright has not had much success. So, you know, and this is why I think that they need to go out and acquire somebody, because, you know, these guys from Gwinnett are just kind of – it's not the right time for them to be coming into a playoff team. You know, these guys need more time to kind of develop in a team that allows them to have some blemishes and not just be perfect. And right now this team needs a player to come in and be pretty, pretty good for them, be an impact player for them, because that's what they need to kind of elevate them on par with a team like the Dodgers that they're going to have to face at some point in the playoffs if they want to win a championship.
Joe, great stuff. As always, we appreciate it. We will talk to you on Thursday. Enjoy the baseball game tonight.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Sounds good, guys. Take care. Enjoy training camp.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Joe. Don't get in any fights with anybody either. Keep it clean.
Keep it clean, Joe.
Keep your gloves up. Hey, you could celebrate the Dukes and Bell Show's 5th-year anniversary coming up Friday at Twin Peaks. And by the way, the 5-year anniversary is the Wood anniversary.
Okay.
If you want to make them a chair or something like that. Or a table. I don't know if you make stuff out of wood. They're going to be live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw from 2 to 7. You have a chance to win great prizes, including Atlanta United and Braves tickets, autographed Matt Ryan football, and more. Those are great prizes. You can stop by for a Hey Man Ale as well. Join Dukes and Bell. Celebrate their 5th anniversary from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw from 2 to 7 this Friday. All right, we'll come back. We'll answer any questions that you may have in the AMA. Any question, any topics on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TVM929. You ask, we answer. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game.
Any question, any topic to close the show out here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, just like we do every single day. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, although we got a lot of good questions today. You can still get yours in, 404-741-0929, on Twitter as well, at TVM929. The AMA, brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Let's get right to it, because we got a lot of good ones. Randy.
Yes.
Could you block Vic Beasley or Tack McKinley?
Man, please.
You talked about Vic Beasley a couple weeks ago. You said that'd be a tough day for Vic.
Put them jumper capers on him.
What if they put them both on the same side? Could you block both of them?
I mean, I ain't Superman, but I can go. I can do a 2-for-1.
Randy.
Yes.
Why do players have season-ending injuries week one of camp?
That is somebody asked me that already on Twitter, and it's anything can happen, really, dude. Sometimes it's. I don't want to say you overtrain, but I mean, like the injuries that you talk about, what happened to the Falcons, those sometimes freakish stuff like this just happens, man.
It's just unlucky.
It really is.
Right?
It's really unlucky sometimes.
That's what it seemed like yesterday with the Falcons injuries. I mean, it is. It's always unlucky. No one plans to get hurt. Have you ever danced in the rain?
Yeah.
Me too.
Not at the landing during Georgia, Florida. Pouring down rain and out there at the landing just dancing.
Oh, that sounds great.
It was awesome.
I mean, I grew up in Seattle. There's a lot of rain. If you weren't doing stuff in the rain, you weren't doing stuff 9 months out of the year growing up. Now, the question goes further, though, Randy. Have you ever danced in the rain naked?
Why the hell would I have no clothes on?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying there, maybe not at the landing.
Oh, yeah.
Your backyard.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Always. That's why I got that privacy fence.
How am I going to say this on the radio? Yeah, it's a nice feeling to have raindrops all falling on all parts of your body.
Oh, yeah. That, like, BBN is my favorite.
It's a natural shower. That's right.
Yeah.
Randy, if you ever got into a bar fight, which one of your previous coaches would you want to have with you?
Ooh.
Head coaches only.
Head coaches only?
Probably not Mark Richt.
Yeah, not Mark. not Norv Turner. Probably Dave Wonstad, because Dave, you know, he's from Pittsburgh.
Not Saban? I feel like Saban might murder somebody.
Please.
No?
Don't let it twist it.
Really?
If he didn't win the way he wins, man, but Nick Saban been slapped a long time ago. I be jumping on folks. He's a winner.
He's like 5'5", right?
Yeah, he's a little dude, man. Yeah, he's a little dude.
Hey, did you hear Chuckery's reaction to Hot Take Tommy not knowing who Stone Cold Steve Austin was last night?
No, I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it, but I saw it on Twitter.
I saw it this morning. I mean, I think Tommy's bull jiving, but that's just me. You know?
People need to realize, like, Thomas Mott is 22 years old.
So?
I mean, he was born in what? That makes it 1998, 99?
My boy is
97?
My boy is 14 years old. He knows who the
Stone
Cold is.
There's a chance he might not, though.
Nah, I don't think so.
Depends on the household you grew up in.
I don't think so.
Hold on, Randy.
Ain't he from Texas?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, ain't the Stone Cold from Soulja from Texas?
I don't know where Stone Cold's from.
Wait, he acts like he's from Texas because... He was stunning Steve Austin with the blonde hair before he became
He's
Stone
a Texas
Cold.
Rattlesnake, I hear.
Yeah, so yeah.
Has anybody wasted more beer in the history of performing than Stone Cold Steve
person.
Austin?
Not a person.
Like, he'll crack two beers and pour them on his head.
I don't think so.
And that's like one sip. He's not getting most of that beer in his mouth. Just seems like a big waste of beer. Most memorable game at UGA. Oh. I assume that's for you, Randy.
Hobnail
boot game?
Yeah.
You caught a lot of passes in that game.
Yeah.
You catch touchdown in that game?
No, I did not.
That's all right.
Sorry. I mean, but I
still had a very productive game.
Made the plays.
Any big blocks?
Oh yeah. Huge one.
Really?
Huge one. Yeah. It was a great game.
Care to describe it?
It was great. It was a seal block that basically I blocked the defense in and I pancaked him, dude. Pancaked him. But then he kind of like flipped over and I fell and he put his hand in my face mask.
What did he do that for?
Because he's a buster.
Because he was mad? Because he pancaked
buster,
him so hard?
Yeah.
You say stuff to guys when you pancake
of
them
course.
Real good? Like what?
Beep!
all right. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of sportscasters?
Sportscasters.
Besides yourself.
I'm not nowhere near that. But I heard y'all talking about it.
I got mine written down.
Okay, let me hear it.
Keith Jackson.
Definitely. He's one of mine.
Vin Scully.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Al Michaels.
Definitely one of mine.
And Bob Costas. Those are my four. And
I like Tirico. I'm going to go Tirico instead
fair.
Of Costas. And then I'm going to go I go Biting Marv in basketball.
Okay. I wanted to put Dan Patrick on there because he's done so much stuff. And these are only play-by-play guys.
Right.
I don't think that has to just be play-by-play guys. I mean, sports casting now is so much more.
If that's the case, I'll go Stuart Scott.
Stuart Scott's awesome.
Stuart Scott was great.
That's a great one. Yeah. It was just his birthday the other day.
Yeah,
he would have been 54. All right. Who at the station, on-air talent-wise, knows the most about sports overall in general?
Mike Conti?
I think Conti.
Yeah.
Conti's probably a good contender
Fricky's
for that.
Fricky's up there, too.
The Chuckery, man. Chuckery knows a ton. He's an encyclopedia walking around.
Definitely. Mike Bell also.
Yeah. Mike Bell, because he knows a lot of like random stuff too. Formula One racing and like soccer. He knows a lot of European soccer stuff now too. Favorite American holiday? So only the American
ones?
Okay, so like, all right, so that takes certain things out. Okay.
Would you call Thanksgiving an American holiday?
Yeah, it is.
Thanksgiving is my favorite.
Yeah, it's a great holiday.
Yeah. Especially when I got older, because I gotta really buy no gifts.
I gotta go 4th of July. All right. I love Independence Day. It's just a great day. I know it's better when it falls on a Friday or if you work at a place that'll give you the day after it off.
Exactly.
Because like this year, you and me working the day after on the 5th, we're a little banged up.
Thanks, dear.
That's all right. Randy, could you beat Hugh in an arm wrestling contest?
Probably not. Probably not.
No offense,
but no.
His arms are large. Yeah. I couldn't either, if you were wondering.
No.
If you could only have one cut of meat for your life, what are you going with?
Pork chop.
Baby back ribs. Hey, Andy, when the NBA returns to Seattle, do you want them to be the Supersonics or something else? Yeah, Supersonics. That's what I want.
Really?
Yeah. Why would you call them anything but the Supersonics?
Because they're not the real Supersonics.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Who are the real Supersonics?
They're the Thunder.
No, you. Wow. That is the wrong answer to that question, Randy. That is the incorrect answer to that question. That's why I like that song Country Grammar by Nelly so much.
Yeah.
Because he references the Sonics. More game than the Bulls and the Sonics.
The Sonics
got a lot of rap shout outs because it rhymes with chronic.
That's why.
That's the only reason.
It's hard to find stuff that go. Yeah.
Right. Not that much stuff rhymes with chronic.
Yeah.
The Lakers beat the Supersonics. That was in today. It was a good day.
Yeah.
Same reason why Bacardi gets all. No one really likes Bacardi rum, but it rhymes with party.
Okay.
So that's why it's in there all the time.
Okay.
It's my hot take.
I like Bacardi.
Should grow. Yeah, but I mean, but you don't like it that much to like rap about it.
Oh, yeah.
If you were making a rap song, you'd be like,
hold up a Bacardi bottle.
I can't wait to rap about Bacardi. It's the best liquor out there.
Nah.
No, it's not. It's fine. Should grown men wear jerseys to football games?
Nope.
I don't say do you. Do whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah. Nope. But if you want to, go ahead.
Yeah, do whatever you want. I don't care. Are there any clothing items that your wife has banned you from wearing? Caleb says his wife has banned him from wearing bucket hats. anything she doesn't like you to wear?
Ball head.
No bald head.
Yeah, if you want to move a couple.
Ashley's still on me because my hair is too short right now.
Nah, I can't wear a bald head. But as far as like clothing, I can wear the hell I want to wear. I wish.
Anything?
I gotta wear. She makes me wear drawers. You know I hate wearing drawers and socks. So yes. So when I leave the house, just something she said. Hey, you got drawers on?
Every time.
Every single time. You got drawers on.
Dang it. I got to go back upstairs. Oh, that's a good way to stop. All right, we'll come back. We'll answer a couple more questions here on the other side. Tell you what we learned today. Hand off to Dukes and Bell as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, final couple minutes for us here from the Kia Studios. We'll be back out at training camp tomorrow, by the way, 10 a.m. live from Flowery Branch. The weather will be better tomorrow, so we'll be out there tomorrow bringing you more live coverage, exclusive coverage.
Yes.
The Falcons training camp right here on 92.9 The Game. All right, before we get out of here, before we chat with Dukes and Bell, let's talk about what we learned today. Brian Gebhardt says he learned that Mike Mularkey tells dad jokes.
He does. He's bad.
Bad dad jokes from Mike Mularkey.
It's pretty bad.
We should try to catch up with him in training camp.
When we're out there tomorrow and we're standing on the sideline, I'll see if I get his attention, he'll come over.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Wendy learned that Randy has to be reminded to wear underwear.
Yes. Which is true. It is an actual fact.
And I learned that Ricardo Allen found out that he was going to practice yesterday, literally before they took the practice field, when they put the assignments up on the board. He saw his number up there. He didn't even know he was going to be able to participate until right before they went out, and it was a very exciting moment for Rico.
So awesome. What I learned today is that every time I talk about the Sonic, my partner is going to get mad and red up here. And
no.
So I will continuously make jokes because I think they should be back in Seattle, but I think they should be called the Thunder.
No,
Seattle Thunder.
You don't.
Look at you.
That's just such a hard one, Randy.
Look at you.
That's such a tough one.
It's okay.
You know the way you feel when the Georgia Tech stuff happens, and we talk about that, and people try to equate Georgia Tech in the same level as Georgia?
Oh, no, I don't pay that any attention. See, you pay attention.
Yeah. It hurts me right in my soul. I like when you talk about the Sonics. I just don't like when you bring the the other team into it. There's no reason to talk about them. They don't even have any players anymore. Dennis Schroeder's their best player. God, and they deserve it. All right, let's get down to Stars and Strikes at Buford and check out Carl and Mike, see what they got coming up on Dukes of Bell for 2-7. What's up, fellas?
Carl, Andy is generally so dynamic in his thinking, but man, when it comes to the home team, the Supersonics, he does get in his bag, doesn't he?
Oh, well, he's a little bit too close to it.
All the way in my bag.
We've got a big show, man. First of all, we're out here at Stars and Strikes. Again, we're out here today, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we're inviting Falcon fans and everybody up here in Buford, man, to come out and hang out with us. But we got a chance, guys, to talk to Calvin Ridley today. And Ridley in great spirits, excited about the season. Find out what he thinks about social media. That is coming up. Also, we're going to talk about the Georgia game and the big announcement today with Notre Dame. Dallas Keuchel on the hill. We got a lot to get into, man.
Yeah, man. Darren Hill's going to join us, talk about the surging Atlanta United and what some would say the best game of the year. Let's hope it is Friday night out in L.A.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for that game on Friday. We were talking about it with Conti a little bit earlier, the message that you could send if you're able to go out to LAFC and beat them in their stadium. Dukes and Bell got you from 2-7 from Stars and Strikes in Buford, so don't go anywhere. Like they said, Calvin Ridley's going to join them. Randy, we'll be back at training camp tomorrow. Live at 10 a.m., which means more live Falcons guests, more exclusive coverage direct from the source. So, when we start our show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we would love it if you'd be there with us.
Hey, you got draws on?
Watch out now!